says, hold on, I'll be right back.
And I mean, they all fit like this. What do you want me to do, man?
Dominique Foxworth and the 24-inch pythons of South Florida. Let's go.
I don't feel insecure at all.
Should we give the Bucks credit, or were they just the beneficiary of Drew Brees' noodle arm?
Man, this feels kind of harsh because it's not like the Bucks didn't come out there with a quarterback that was older than Drew Brees and Tom Brady. And especially in the first half, that game looked like two old dudes playing quarterback. Like, if you didn't know the names of those dudes, you'd have just been like, damn, these dudes are old and they're out here. This really does come down to Drew Brees in a lot of ways, though. And the Saints, they had to see, or you would have thought in the last couple of years, that his arm strength was declining and in a way that was going to make it difficult, if not impossible, for them to actually win a Super Bowl. But he is Drew Brees, and so they decided to ride it out as best they could. Maybe hope you get a 2015 situation where Peyton Manning was absolutely cooked, but the defense was good enough, and he could do just enough things in order for them to win a Super Bowl. But once they had to bring Jameis Winston in there to throw the ball far, because I don't even know if Drew Brees can see that far, let alone throw that far, that's what the problem wound up being. It sounds harsh. It may be his last game, but their quarterback was done, and that might be the biggest reason why they lost.
It kind of feels to me like that's the perfect way to have the last game. Like, I'm watching it thinking this is a terrible way to go out for Drew Brees because he had a clean pocket on most of his interceptions. It's not like you can blame anybody else. They were bad throws, inaccurate, sometimes behind people, and sometimes late. And then I thought, actually, that's exactly how you want it to end, because I would hate for my last game to go out there and be like, man, I wish these other guys would have held it down for me. I would have got it done. You know what? You weren't good enough. That it comes down to you in that moment. And you know, at this point, there ain't no ketchup left in the bottle. You can put water in it, shake it up, do whatever you want. Your career is over. It's good to feel that type of closure in that moment. And you brought up that old Peyton Manning run. The thing about the Peyton Manning run was Peyton Manning knew he was cooked. Drew Brees is just accurate enough, just smart enough to convince other people and convince himself that he was not cooked. Peyton Manning played the games that he played. Also, Osweiler took over for some. But Peyton played those games like somebody was like, oh, my God, I better not blow this game. Let's not mess this up for Von Miller. Drew Brees didn't do that. He was out there trying to make plays that he no longer could make. And let's not pretend like Brady didn't look like somebody uncle out there on Turkey Day, too. Like, I'm all-time quarterback. No matter what, I'm still a quarterback. Nah, bro. Brady made a couple of good balls, but by and large, that Tampa defense won that game.
I tend not to feel bad for Drew Brees about much of anything, but for a slight moment there, when he threw that ball to Kamara, and you could see him yelling, Alvin, as if Kamara could hear him across the field when he was running past the defender, I was like, oh, that is such a sad replay, and that is not the way necessarily I want him to go out. But really, I don't care how he goes out. He looked like a bad quarterback here, and Tom Brady didn't look much better. But this is what I love about Tom Brady, and this is what I was thinking about going into this Tampa Bay game. Like, he brought this entire universe with him, and now the Buccaneers are in the conference championship game, and it's the kind of stuff that I've always wanted. You know, the Packers were doing just fine, by the way, with their strategy to do for Aaron Rodgers. Hey, bring a whole group of people, sell out, and definitely make the Super Bowl. But going into this, it was like, what's their identity? I don't know. Devin White, a linebacker who had an interception off of Drew Brees, had this to say about the Buccaneers' identity.
You know, everybody always asks what was our identity. And, you know, we didn't have an answer. But Coach B.A., he had an answer. He said, we some who's going to find a way to win the game.
And that's what I think this team is. They're loaded. They've got some bleepers who are going to find a way to win a game, whether or not Tom Brady is ridiculously accurate. This team's loaded. And if they have any sort of continuity, any sort of identity whatsoever, they look like they could be a Super Bowl team, a Super Bowl winning team.
Old Tom Brady is about to go play a game in Green Bay, Wisconsin. 43-year-old Tom Brady is going to be expected to play football outdoors in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He did not look very good playing in an air-conditioned dome. What in the TB12 method do they have to keep you warm? Has anybody looked that far?
Devin White, some mother bleepers that's going to find a way to win. Like, it's not going to be on him again. That defense is going to have to play out of their mind. And Devin White, the way he was returning that interception, looked like Leonard Fournette in college. Like, that team, it felt like that side of the ball was not going to let them lose. They're going to have to do that again against a much better quarterback, which I don't see as very likely.
How should the Chiefs be feeling today?
All right, the Chiefs beat the Browns 22-17. The line was closer to double digits at points, and people thought it was going to be a blowout. It didn't work out that way. Here's how the Chiefs should feel. Like, Patrick Mahomes went out, they brought Chad Henne in, still called the same plays, and then after he threw an interception, it should have made you stop calling Chad Henne plays. Chad Henne had a run on third and forever that had everything but the Chariots of Fire playing as he went. Apparently, he ran faster on that run than he did at any point on his 40-yard dash at the combine 13 years ago. He wanted it so bad, came up short, and then they called a play and let him throw it again. The Chiefs should feel like Chad Henne made sure they got to the AFC Championship game. Do what you will with that.
Those were play calls from a team and a coach who just won a Super Bowl and said, you know what? I don't know if I'm getting my quarterback back, so let's ride with this. And yeah, it was great. It was fun. It was smart of Andy Reid to do, frankly. How they should be feeling is, and I know this was a popular hashtag yesterday because Patrick Mahomes started himself, but they should not believe that anything is possible. Because if they go into this game, even with Chad Henne practicing most of the week, it's probably not going to be ideal. And I don't say that because I think the Kansas City Chiefs can't sort of function without Patrick Mahomes at 100%. I say that because the Buffalo Bills are really looking good. And going into the postseason, you know, you heard some stories or some studies about, hey, if you look at the numbers, they're the hottest team coming in. They could make it to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. And this is not the condition you want to see your Kansas City Chiefs in going into that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think Chad Henne should feel great personally because he just earned his Super Bowl ring, if they're going to win one or not, which is a nice feeling to do in just a couple plays. And I think the Chiefs should feel fortunate that they got to where they are. But in this situation, I think the Browns should be devastated. I know a lot of people are saying, like, whoa, what a great season. This was so amazing. You found your quarterback. Yeah. I agree. That's all right. Congratulations, coach of the year. But you don't get opportunities like this often. You don't get a chance to play against defending Super Bowl champs without their all-time great quarterback. You don't get a chance to dive to try to score a touchdown at the one-yard line. Like, you don't get these opportunities often. And if anybody knows that, it should be Cleveland. So I'm devastated for them because – this might be the best shot they get. They may get back to this spot, but you can't guarantee that Patrick Mahomes is going to be hurt. You can't guarantee that you're going to have an opportunity to win like they did yesterday.
I wanted Cleveland to feel good. Thank you, Dominique, for reminding us. It's always time for them to feel bad. I don't make the rules. That's just how it goes.
I mean, when you look at it, I understand. We take a step back. You see where they were last year, where they've been in history. You take a step back. You're like, man, they were almost beating the Chiefs, almost an AFC Championship game. That sounds good. Now let's go down to the micro. They should have won that game. And we know how difficult it is to get in that situation going forward. This will be something that they look back on next year or years in the future if they do not win a Super Bowl. Like, man, that was our chance. I don't know how good they can feel about that right now.
Dominique, I'm curious, your thoughts as a former player on that rule with the touchback, with the ball being fumbled out of the end zone, and then just as a guy who's been watching lately with all the rules changing, did you think that that should have been a flag? Did you think that only on the replay did we actually notice that it was a helmet-to-helmet flag?
Well,
flag
I think it was obviously helmet-to-helmet. That should have been called. But once it wasn't called, the thing I have more issue with is like how it feels like all these nerds want to change the touchback rule. Like every year you make it more difficult to play defense. We got one little rule that comes up once in every 50 games that plays in our favor. And everybody's like, oh, what's such a terrible rule? What's such a terrible rule? Blah, 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 blah.
That's
like,
our rule.
It happens. Defense's rule. It happens once in every 300 games. And yes, it's kind of unfair, but it adds to the suspense of the situation. It makes it higher stakes. It makes it more fun. That's what y'all tell me when every year you make it more difficult to play DB. You're like, hey, people like touchdowns. It's so much fun. You know what's fun? In that one moment, it could be a turnover or it could be 6 points. That is high stakes. That is entertainment. So, nerds, shut up.
Take that, nerds.
Up next on HQ.
Don't nobody care about the defenders? You trying to kill them. Stop trying to kill the defenders.
Damn touchback rule, and y'all mad about the touchback rule. Tell them how you feel about forward progress.
Is it fair to put a ceiling on the Lamar-led Ravens after what we saw this weekend?
Ah, yes. Let us talk about the ceiling on a guy who just turned 24. Yes, the future's already mapped out for him. That game was weird and interesting to watch because the wind seemed to be such a giant factor that the Ravens couldn't even pull off a shotgun snap, let alone half the passes, and had chances to win the game. Justin Tucker missed field goals. Lamar obviously threw the pick six on the 101-yard play that turned it all the way back around in the other direction. But they have personnel shortages on offense, a personnel deficiency, shall we say, that they're going to have to go out there and fix. If you think that the ceiling of that team is capped by having Lamar Jackson, please tell me who the people are that expanded on that offense, because I ain't seen nobody who does that but Lamar Jackson.
Right. It's the ceiling of the team with this skill position group. And even then, you know, Lamar didn't finish the game. We don't know what could have happened if he went in takeover mode like he did last week. It seemed like he was on the verge, perhaps, of doing that, you know, minus the pick six and all. But no, I don't think there's a ceiling. I think there's a ceiling to this version of the offense. And I think what was sort of lauded with this group and Harbaugh was, hey, they were willing to change everything, create this offense that they thought was perfect for Lamar Jackson and would work in the NFL. And it did. Not only did defenses have to adjust, but you have Lamar Jackson in the backfield. So you can kind of do whatever you want if the defenses aren't ready for you and aren't really containing him. And so now you realize that, okay, maybe defenses have adjusted. Maybe you actually do need some speed receivers, and maybe Lamar can throw it to those guys if they're open downfield. So I do think there's a ceiling to this. They've got to really ramp this up and open up the offense for him because he's clearly capable of doing it.
Of course there's a ceiling to it. There's a ceiling towards every team, but the ceiling for the Ravens with Lamar Jackson at quarterback and the right personnel and the right adjustments, I believe, is winning the Super Bowl. He's going to be fine. That game was not a good display by Lamar Jackson, but it wasn't for Josh Allen either. I think before the game started or early on in the game, I tweeted that this is going to come down to a Josh Allen fumble or Lamar Jackson interception. And the difference of this game was that Josh Allen's fumble got recovered by his own offensive line, and Lamar Jackson was not able to hit the touchdown to a wide open Hollywood Brown, and his interception got returned for a touchdown the other way. Like, it came down to those two plays working out in the wrong direction. That at the end of this game, if those plays go in a different direction, we're having a whole different conversation. But the fact of the matter is, the bottom line is y'all still hate defense because both of these teams played really good defense. And rather talking about that, the unique things that the Ravens were doing with their secondary, the exceptional way that the safeties on Buffalo were containing the running game and also participating in the pass game, all that's impressive. But can you throw the ball? No, so we don't care about you.
Do the Packers look like they're clearly the best team left in the playoffs?
All right, so this is a difficult question to answer because the Rams had the best defensive player in the world, and he was out there with something messed up with his ribs, so messed up that we didn't see him for long stretches of the game. Then the Rams quarterback, you know, has only got one good hand, right? So, like, that, you know, it's a little bit tricky to try to figure out just how good they were up until that point. But there are no demerits really to hang against the Packers at this point, right? It feels like you're fighting it and you're pushing really hard to try to figure out what the problem is that's with them. They could run when they need to run. They've got Aaron Rodgers, and then they got a mean pass rush when they need to have a mean pass rush. Good luck to old man Brady going up there in the cold against that one, man, because they got a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and they got Jair Alexander on the edge to cover, and Amos and Savage and the safeties playing well. Like, they're a pretty well-rounded team. But I agree, it's hard to take anything, any major takeaways from this particular game because I don't think that the Rams were in any condition to compete. Every year, we make new rules to try to protect the quarterbacks. But we got a situation where some of our best players, Aaron Donald, Myles Garrett on the defensive line, are not fully available in these big moments. So how about we change the rules there too? Let's find a way to protect Aaron Donald so that our marquee defensive players are healthy and able to go in these big time moments.
You know what's interesting with the Packers, and I'm not alone in this. There have been a lot of people, and I said this earlier, about wanting them to sort of sell out and give them, you know, give Aaron Rodgers all the toys to play with on offense. Man, they didn't really need to do that much because they got Davante Adams, 99 on Madden, and they got Aaron Jones, and man, they look like the triplets. And if you look at sort of the four teams left, you look at them and you look at Kansas City and say, man, in terms of talent, in terms of offense, not only are those two teams loaded, and I know the Bucs are, but they don't really have the continuity and have the chemistry. But if the Packers and the Chiefs meet in the Super Bowl, and I feel like we talk about this some years and some years we don't, but that matchup would be incredible, sort of an all-timer for quarterbacks and for offenses. Those might be the two best quarterbacks we've ever seen. So I say all that to say I really hope the Packers are the best team in the NFC and 43-year-old Tom Brady, you know, goes ahead and takes that L in the cold because I can't wait to see that matchup Aaron Rodgers has to have a lot in that sort of motivational tank. He's probably going to win the MVP. And if he can beat Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl, it's like, hey, you guys want to talk about that GOAT conversation right now, or you want to wait till he's done?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also they're taking away the bye week for the playoffs for one team and talking about adding another football game. Don't nobody care about the defenders? You trying to kill them. Stop trying to kill the defenders. Damn, touchback rule. And y'all mad about the touchback rule.
Tell them how you feel about forward progress.
So you just got to be near the first down marker. You don't even got to finish the play, huh? You just got to be close to it. You got to be in the vicinity.
Do you question which Kings player got it worse from Zion?
All right, Zion was on last night, 13 for 15, 31 points. By the way, he has shot in two jumpers outside the paint all year long. Now let's look at him take it to Rashawn Holmes of Sacramento Kings.
He had the turnovers in the second half as Zion just...
Ooh. I mean, that was unfair. I saw on SportsCenter where they stopped the play right there and just showed Rashawn Holmes flying into the deck, and that was just unfair, man. You can't hang with that dude.
All right, now who's the next one? I don't even know this next person's name. I'll be honest. Hold on, did we really ask which of them got it the worst when this is what this guy got?
He took two full steps to the left on the jab move and then still jumped, did not learn from Marvin Bagley whatsoever, and got dunked on by Zion. That's got to be his signature poster so far, right?
I appreciate confidence, and I understand the confidence that you need to be a professional athlete. What made that dude think he had any chance going up to the rim with Zion? Like in his head, how did he see this thing going, right? Like, maybe he needs to impress his coach and show the coach that he's working. No, the coach will understand.
No, he won't. No, he won't. See, that's the thing. You didn't even know that guy's name. When people don't know your name, you don't have no choice. You got to contest them shots. If he blocks it, then maybe he got a long-term spot on the roster. You saw what Bagley did. He was like, oh, yeah, I'm a first-round draft pick. I'm going to go ahead and slide up out of here.
Do you question if Dominique would stand a chance against this handball player?
All right, so apparently Dominique has some things to say about the handball players. Can we run this?
It's not like this is soccer and it's just not a big deal here. I'm sure handball is a big deal somewhere, but no one is an 8-year-old and is like, I want to play handball. You know who plays handball? The people who couldn't make it in soccer, couldn't make it in football, couldn't make it in basketball. So I know it's completely disrespectful to all handballers out there, but I don't care.
Wow, you were really into that.
I mean, it's true.
Who is it?
Okay, now we are going to show you the Shaq of the Congo. Democratic Republic of the Congo, just so you know. Whoa. That is a large man.
I think it's more accurate to call him the refrigerator Perry of the Congo.
Yeah. Gilbert Brown, except, I mean, he's moving, though, man. But Shaq is not built in that way.
I feel like this is a brand new opportunity for the big man. I don't know who was sitting in between Dominique and Sarah in that clip, but I think that dude can probably play in this game.
Yo, I'm so ashamed of, like, he's in so much better shape than I am.
I mean, I just feel like that whole clip just proved my whole point right there. Like, it made my case. I don't have to say anything. The clip said it for you. Like, I'm a fan of U.S. handball. They are out right now because of a COVID outbreak. But y'all just showed me a man who's competing at world-class level handball who could not compete in any of the other sports that I named. That's all I'm saying. No disrespect to that guy, but, like,
hold on.
He's not playing any of these other sports.
Tonight at 7:30, Bucks and Nets.
All right, James Harden and Kevin Durant look pretty good together. No idea how they're going to look with Kyrie, because we don't have any idea when Kyrie's going to play again. But here's James Harden after his first game.
You've only been here a little over 48 hours. What was it like building chemistry on the fly?
I mean, when you're playing with really, really good players, it's pretty easy. For me, you just got to learn reads, learn where guys like the ball.
Do you realize what a charmed basketball existence that James Harden has had, where he's over there playing with John Wall and looking at it being like, I don't have any good players? Like, he has never played on a team that doesn't actually have good players, not once in his career. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I mean, he was birthed onto the OKC team that got to the 2012 finals and was supposed to be a dynasty in the making. So, yeah, he's pretty used to it. I'm super intrigued. Even if Kyrie doesn't play, he's questionable. He should probably be listed as questionable for every game. But if they do fully, if that team gets together and plays, it's going to be great to see if the Nets can, in fact, defend anybody. It's going to be great to see if the Bucks can really shut down that team with that trio of players. You see that stat line in James Harden. It just reminds you, man. And some of these other teams that missed out on him because they thought he'd be trouble. Now that dude's amazing.
So was James Harden wearing a fat suit under his warmups when he was in Houston? Like he had to be, right? Because like no way he was he was trolling everybody. He was trying to get up out of there because either he did or they need to test him for something or he's figured out the secret to the fountain of youth and weight loss because he dropped what looked like 50 pounds in a matter of a flight from Houston to New York.
Stuffing towels into your shooting shirt to exacerbate your trade demand is some next level stuff, man. Yeah. You go ahead. It's okay.
Magnificent.
All right, and that's it. Check out Dominique Foxworth at theundefeated.com. Izzy Gutierrez coming live from a sideline near you if the sideline is in Miami. Is that fair?
It's Friday night. I said, welcome to Miami when I was in Milwaukee's.